Greetings and salutations. How are you? My name is Jake Query. That is Derek Schultz. It is the incredibly creatively and appropriately named, now charitably award-winning, Query and Schultz program here on ISC. And this is Derek's show, double quattro, right?
44.
Is that right? Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, right? Double quattro?
Well, 44? Hold on. It's not double quattro. 44 in Spanish
double
would
quattro.
Be...
Double quattro, right? Double quattro, if it's because we're males. I think that's right.
Ante ocho. Okay. I'm trying to think of what 40 is.
We got an hour here. Let's go.
And I'll have to look it up. I'll have to look it up.
Try to think of what 40 is in Spanish.
I don't remember.
Okay. Oldo English?
No, come on. Don't be insulting.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Don't just add an O.
So 44, this would be show Hank Aaron, right?
Yeah.
Alan Henderson?
Come on, man.
Okay.
Don't do this. Don't be like Homer guy.
Jim Brown.
Every single person that you
grew up with. Is Jim Brown 44?
I think he was. Yeah.
Jim Brown.
Hank Aaron?
It's a push. I love Henry Aaron, okay? Yeah. And advantage Henry Aaron because he began his professional career. First contract he signed was with the Indianapolis Clowns back in 1950, I believe 51, before his contract was bought by the Milwaukee Braves, then the Atlanta Braves, then the Milwaukee Brewers. But having said all of that, Jim Brown, Derek, still, you're talking about a guy that is – almost without question, the greatest ever to play at his position. Hank Aaron was a phenomenal player.
I don't know, Walter Payton?
Walter Payton was a great player. But I think most people that saw him play would tell you that Jim Brown's the greatest running back of all time. Was he 44?
Let's see here.
I want to make sure I'm – because I'd be embarrassed if we didn't look it up. And
actually,
it's like, oh, he was
42. Think he was – Riggins was 44. I'm looking at football 44s. Jim Brown, let's see.
Yeah,
let me see if I can find
Jim
a picture.
Brown.
Hold on.
Ernie Davis was 44. That's probably who I'm thinking of.
Also, no, Jim Brown was 32.
Oh, God, I knew
yeah.
that. How did I
that's all right. We'll
get that
in post. Jordan, we'll edit all that.
Okay.
Get all that out.
Ernie Davis. What was Ernie Davis? Look up Ernie Davis's number.
I have no idea.
No,
well, Syracuse had a ton of 44s, right? That's like their famous number. Didn't Ernie Davis play at Syracuse?
Yeah. Ernie Davis was
yes,
a high school.
Ernie Davis was 44.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
My apologies to Jim Brown, the great
wow.
Jim Brown, number 32.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
Yeah. You always embarrass it. I mean, we're what? Let me check my watch here. We are 90 seconds into the show, and you've already embarrassed yourself.
Okay. 90 divided in half, by the way, is?
45.
That's next show.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
If they don't fire us.
Okay, so what do we have to talk about today, Derek? There's plenty, including NBA Finals, Home Run Derby. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, you just named,
two
of them.
You got a nice T-shirt on today?
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Banana Republic was having a sale.
Oh, really?
$8. Free shipping.
Okay. It's one big permanent urine stain on there. That's why it was $8.
No, it wasn't from the damaged outlet. This was legit Banana Republic. Like, not the factory.
You know, when I was a kid, I'm old enough that when I was a kid, Banana Republic was not a finer clothing establishment, but rather it was an African Congo-themed T-shirts. They had, like, maps of Africa on them, and if you went in there, it was like J. Peterman. If you went to Banana Republic, and you had to go to Chicago to Water Tower Place, to the closest Banana Republic, it did not exist in Indianapolis. But if you went there, it was all the rage was to have a Banana Republic T-shirt, and it would have, like, airplanes on it and African maps and tigers and stuff like that.
I sometimes forget how old you are.
Yeah,
well, like I have no idea what the words that just came out of your mouth. Like I have no idea what the hell you're
talking
about.
If I cut my hair short enough, you can't tell that it's predominantly silver.
There was only Banana Republics in Chicago?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure New York had one,
okay,
and like
yeah.
LA had one,
I
but the closest
know that it was that exclusive.
Oh, darn it.
I'm in a good mood, so
okay.
Don't test me on that. No, NBA Finals, we're going to talk about. Game 3 is tonight, and I don't really think that this series is going to get interesting unless Milwaukee wins tonight. Then things will get interesting. Because Phoenix, if they win tonight, they're not going to blow a 3-1 lead.
What is always said, it's a cliche, but it's true. What is always said about 7-game series?
A series doesn't start until the road team wins.
Correct.
Yeah, and so far,
now,
obviously, that's not been the
case.
Our
friend Evan Sidry, who covers the Phoenix Suns and has for some time, he sent a tweet. I don't know that I totally agree with this, but he said it was a must-win for Phoenix in Game 4. Would you agree with that?
No. It's a must-win for Milwaukee. I don't think it's a must-win for the road team. I don't think you have to split.
I would tend to agree with that. If Milwaukee loses and goes down 3-1, it's over.
But
for that reason, then you would say, wow, that makes this a game that Phoenix has to have, because if Phoenix were to win and they go at 3-1, it's over.
Yeah, I hear that. Evan was pointing to a statistic, and I'm just paraphrasing here. I think he said 70% of the Game 4 winners have gone on to win the series.
Right.
But I don't think that even 70%, 7 out of 10 doesn't make it a must-win. You know, how many teams have come back from 3-1? There's only like 15 or 16, right, in NBA history in any series that have come back from 3-1.
Well, and there's no doubt that, as a matter of fact, when Cleveland came back from 3-1, they were in the same situation, though, in the fact that they did not have home court, right?
Yeah, because they won Game 7 in Oakland.
Correct. So, you know, it can be done.
Mm-hmm. That might have been 2-3-2, though. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I get confused
by that
as well.
That might have been the old format. I don't remember when they actually changed.
But I do get confused by that. But it's been a great series so far because of the fact that there really hasn't been anything that's happened that's jumped out at you as an anomaly, because you had, obviously, Phoenix winning the first two games fairly handily at home. And then, as you would expect, what many perceive to be the best player in the game taking over in Game 3 because he's at home now, and talking about Giannis. And so here we are, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question he's the best player in the series. Devin Booker has ascended. He's not there yet. Chris Paul is, even though he's still great, is not in the prime of his career anymore. Right? So I don't think there's any argument that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the series. And he was the best player in Game 2 and Game 3. They ended up losing Game 2, of course. But back-to-back 40-point games, the last two people to do that in the finals are LeBron and Shaq. So that tells you all you need to know. I mean, I think we forget how dominant Shaq – Shaq won three straight NBA Finals MVPs. You know, a lot of people – I'm not going to get into my rant today, but a lot of people talk about Kobe and Shaq like they were equals on those teams. And while Kobe was really, really good, Shaquille O'Neal was the most dominant player in the league when they won those three titles.
Like, he was their
best player,
you
unquestionably.
Know, I had forgotten, Derek, going back and looking at the 2000 NBA Finals, how dominant Shaq was in the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he had back-to-back 40-point games, did he not?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the last time that it – or maybe one of those other series against the Nets or whoever else.
Do you want to know a trivia question I have for you as it relates to the NBA Finals and the Indiana Pacers? Because that's what we do on this program. We localize. Do you want to know the trivia question I have for you?
Fire away. I might know it. If it has to do with the Pacers, I probably know it.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. And the 2000 NBA Finals over the course of the six games that compromised the 2000 NBA Finals. Yeah. The leading scorers for the Pacers were Reggie Miller and Jalen Rose. Who was third?
Third in scoring for the 2000 Pacers.
Yes, in the NBA Finals. Not for the season, in the finals.
Because
among the six games of the finals.
Because this is just a trivia question, so I'm assuming there's a quirk here. I'm just going to guess that it was Travis Best.
Do you feel compelled to go with the littlest guy on the floor? Is that what it is?
He hit the biggest shot of the entire run.
He did.
He saved them.
He did against
Milwaukee.
In that
series against the Bucks.
You're right. He did.
It's one of the biggest shots in Pacers history. They should really talk about it more. They were about to be embarrassed.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. That was huge out of the corner. You're well correct.
Okay, so obviously it was not Travis Best.
It's not Travis Best.
Okay, no, hit me with it.
No, keep going. It's a good tribute.
Austin Crozier.
That is correct. See, you should have gone with your – why did you not go with your first instinct first?
Well, Crozier had the great playoffs in 99, which also led to the – he had a great playoffs in 99 and 2000, right?
2000 – well, the 2000 finals are what got him a $52 million contract.
Yeah, because he got a big contract after
Correct.
That. And then I don't remember, was it like knees or didn't he have some sort of –
You know, he had – yeah, he had
– an issue?
Probably his biggest thing, to be honest with you, was – I remember him having an issue with plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
Which, let me tell you something.
What? No joke. You've had that.
Yeah, it's no joke.
Uh-huh.
He also stepped on one of his kids' Legos once.
Ooh, ouchie.
Yeah.
I've done that. Been there.
Have you really?
Yeah. It's the worst.
Legos laying around?
He's into Legos now. Yeah, that's like
no-go on
his
Legos.
Newest thing.
I was, you know, I did Lego when I was, this will shock you. When I was a kid, I was playing with Legos once. I was making, I don't know, we had a kid across the street from me that was all into building stuff and with Legos and erector sets and all this other stuff. And I was doing Legos, and I got it about as big as one of these bobbleheads and just chucked that bad boy against the wall, and it shattered. And I basically was like, that's it, man. I'm done with these things.
So you broke somebody else's toys?
They were mine.
That's the story
they were
you want to tell? Okay.
But they went in. I had a drawstring bag that they all went in, and they went into my closet and hung, and they were there until like 5 years ago.
And you smashed them on the wall?
Yes.
So you've always had anger issues then. That's not something that developed in
I don't
your
have
adult
anger.
Life.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about anger issues.
You have anger issues.
Who's the one with anger issues, huh?
I've heard you.
Okay.
I think most people would agree. I am extremely patient with you. Extremely.
Okay. You think so?
I show a lot of patience and restraint, which thankfully for you, I've shown a lot of.
By the way, somebody reminded me, speaking of patience, somebody was patient because I forgot last week. And so this week I am obligated based on a promise I made to somebody that I am to use the words moist and gelatinous often on this program.
That first one. Gelatinous, I don't care, but.
Really?
Yeah, the M
seeping?
Word.
Seeping.
Oh,
the other
I hate that one too.
Why?
Who told you that?
Somebody on Twitter got a they got a kick out of the fact that I was talking about the gelatinous blood clot that was seeping.
Oh,
out of
that
my nose.
Was gross. Yeah, I forgot about the nosebleed that wouldn't stop. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Gelatinous when it comes to blood grosses me out. Yeah. Anything involving blood grosses.
When
me
a gelatinous
out.
Blood clot comes back through your throat, yeah. And it's like Smucker's jelly. It's a little much.
Okay.
NBA Finals. What else do we have to talk about today?
Pacers to trade or not to trade, because there's been a lot of, and we've discussed on this show, we talked about the Ben Simmons stuff last week, and now like Colin Sexton with Cleveland.
Do you believe that?
Is that a fit? I don't know. The agents feed a lot of the fire when it comes to this stuff.
You know, my Colin Sexton term, or the feeling I have.
25-20 guy?
He feels like the proverbial 25-20 guy,
yeah.
Is he not?
25 points per game on a team that wins 20 games.
Doesn't he feel like that guy?
He's obviously a scorer. I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth because I really want the Pacers to make a change. I don't think that they should roll back with this same starting five.
They made a pretty big change, though.
But if they just – well, yeah, head coach. But that was a given. I think they knew that Bjorkgren was in over his head.
But can you say that you're rolling out the same car when you've changed the driver?
Yeah, because it's a players' league.
Okay.
So, really, the coach isn't the driver. The coach, I think,
you know,
is the
you know, Derek,
I don't even know what he would be. The transmission?
I don't know if you know
the steering
this or not.
Wheel?
It's not a league. It's an association.
Okay. Well, I like to say league.
I
don't say the association or national basketball. And I hate when people say National Football League over and over and over again.
How about when people talking about the NBA say this league? You know, I think he can play in this
our league.
Yeah.
I kind of like when coaches – and like if I was a coach or a player, I would say our league.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's not –
because it's a club that I'm part of.
But it's an association. You're simply associated.
Yeah, but I don't refer to it that
way. I'm going to go on a bit of a hunch here. And I'm going to say that over the course of your 38 years on the planet.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks. That over the course of that 38 years, it's nary a club that you've been a part of.
Oh, I've been in a lot of clubs, actually.
Oh, really?
I've been in a ton of them.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to know.
Well, you can look at my high school yearbook, class of 2001, if you want to check out some of the clubs and associations I was with. I was with the Eagle's Eye high school newspaper. I was a sports editor.
The Eagle's Eye?
Yes.
Okay.
Trumbull High Golden Eagles.
Now, let me ask you something. No, hold on. This makes no sense. If you're the Eagle's Eye, that makes no sense because if you're the sports editor, you are watching the Eagles.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking in a mirror, an eagle is not watching himself.
Now,
an owl,
owl's eye
is what you should have done because owls, they can look 360. Their eyes are all over. An eagle, on the other hand. So, in other words, what's something that's looking at an eagle?
All right, can you calm
down?
What
is something that's hovering over an eagle?
Just kind of calm down and shut up for a second.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Eagle's eye means like the eye of the eagle. It's watching the entire school, the entire campus of Trumbull High School. So there were other things besides sports in the paper. We covered sports, news, issues that affected the student body.
What was the biggest column you wrote?
I wrote a huge column about Vladimir Guerrero being the next big thing in baseball. And he ended up having a Hall of Fame career. He didn't ascend to the levels that I was saying he was going to ascend to, but he ended up being a great, great player.
I'll bet that the girls went crazy over
that. Oh, they did. Yeah, they
sure
did. They read a lot of my articles.
I'm sure, yeah.
For sure.
What was the name of your column?
I didn't really have a name for the column.
So you were a member of the Eagle's Eye. What other fabulous clubs were you part of?
Future Business Leaders of America.
Oh, yeah.
My mom made me join.
Yeah, the FBLA.
FBLA. So I did that for a while.
Chick Magnet, that deal was.
Yep. Yeah, I was the Trumbull Wiffle Ball Club.
Yeah, that was
which
you started
I
that
formed with Matt Stolman. So we were co-founders of that. We also were co-commissioners of the Trumbull Wiffle Ball League.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that had a lot of members, none female.
Yeah, that's a
what
shock.
What other clubs was I? Well, I wrestled.
Yeah,
so I did that. Yeah. So I was part of that. That was more of a team than a club. That was a varsity team.
Right.
I was mostly JV, but that was also a varsity offering as well. So, yeah, I've been in a lot of clubs over the years. When Facebook first started, I joined a lot of clubs. I joined the Jesse Spano Caffeine Pill Club.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Caffeine Pill Breakdown Club.
I'm so excited, right?
Remember that when Facebook had, like, groups that you could join?
I don't know.
Yeah, you're old, so you don't remember. IU was one of the first 100 schools to be on Facebook.
I do know that.
So I got really into Facebook.
Did you poke people?
Oh, yeah. That's all you did. 2005, that's all I did was poke. Okay. Just over and over and over again.
I did. Yeah. Hi, I'm Derek Schultz.
Sorry, that came out weird.
All
on
I did
Facebook.
Was...
on Facebook.
All I did was poke.
Well, I mean, I did. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to get into that, but yeah. Consensually.
Were you in the poking club? I'd like to know. I'd like to know.
It was college.
Hi,
so
I'm Derek Schultz, and in 2004, I might have poked you.
No,
okay.
I mean.
Did you ever come across the Pillsbury Doughboy?
We all kind of had that time in our lives, and that was 2005 was a good year.
Okay. Okay. We have also features to get to today, right?
Are we still doing a show? Is this still happening?
Including from Chateau Kitchen, who I'm sure are thrilled. Our friend Matthew, and we've got a growing number of listeners in the state of Maine.
Yeah, I'm going to Maine this
week. Viewers, for that matter.
Or next week.
You are?
Yeah, no show next week.
What do you mean no show next week?
We're taking the Corey and Schultz summer vacation next week.
Was that guns up?
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Matthew in Maine says I should wear a hat backwards on part of the program because we had a discussion was it show 43 or 42?
43. Yeah, last week.
About whether or not over 40 you can wear a hat backwards. And Matthew actually said, I look better with a hat on backwards. So.
I think it looks kind of sad.
You actually said it looks okay on me.
Well, no, because of the gray.
It does look weird.
It's kind of depressing.
That's why if you keep it close enough, you can't see the gray.
Like, I'm depressed looking at that. Like, that makes me sad to think that I will one day be that old.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
You are. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, you're already knocking on the door, buddy.
It is getting a little, isn't it?
Little thin in the back, too.
No, it's not. Yeah. No, you know what? That is actually not accurate
at
all.
Oh, no. I can see it right there.
I've been using Keeps.
As a matter of fact, do me a
favor. And it's made
it. Using what?
Well, the light is right on my head, and it's a little blonder.
Hold
and
on.
Lighter,
do me a favor.
Lean forward.
It is really getting thick.
I just need to check something.
Do not touch me in any way.
I'm not touching you. I'm using – I can see the reflection.
Okay.
It's like a mirror.
It's like a mirror because there's a big spotlight right on me. That's what that is.
Is that the eagle's eye?
All right. We're going to come back, and we're going to attempt to have a show for the rest of the way today.
Right.
I actually have a really busy day. We have, like, other ISC responsibilities and the whole staff. It's, like, all hands on deck. It's a big week this week, so I don't want you to derail that for us.
You know, when they do have all hands on deck, you actually take the least amount of the deck of anybody.
It's Corey and Schultz. We'll have more next here on ISC.
That's actually true. Okay.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at iscsportsnetwork.com.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned. And family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Shot at the buzzer. Got it! She got it! Oh my goodness, what a shot!
Hello!
Did it again.
Hello!
Made the highlight reel again.
That goes to Metzger, and all kinds of room to run. Down the middle of the field, and he will not be touched. Jackson, hello!
There we go.
Stokes throws it, caught, ball, ricochets!
Wow.
A huge hit!
Wow.
This has been an amazing display of goal scoring.
You know, because of the year-round schedules that more schools are doing now, I still get nostalgically this feeling like around August of back to school. And I realize it's not as applicable now because there's a lot of fluctuation with schedules. But nonetheless, this time of year, I start thinking about back to school. And if you're thinking about back to school, Derek, you know, whether it be that you are wanting to resume a career that you might have put on hold for a little bit because life got in the way in terms of your college education, or you're just thinking, you know what, I'm ready to start a college education and maybe change in careers, WGU Indiana is the place for you. Indiana's largest online accredited university, wgu.edu/Indiana. Again, ambition never rests. And what that means is no matter what your schedule is, no matter what time of the day it might be or time of the year when you want to take those classes, that's what WGU is designed to do. The accredited online university with Sage the Owl, which is fabulous.
We
and of course,
that?
What's that?
We still doing the...
It's look at this. It's beautiful.
Swooping Nightmare Owl.
You know what that is right there? Now, that's the eagle's eye because Sage swooping in on an eagle, okay. Probably.
Well,
right?
Eagles are a lot stronger than owls.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Well, then you're wrong.
I mean, you and I were both eagles.
An eagle would dominate an owl.
You sure about that?
100%.
Well, let's consider that.
I mean, maybe if you were on the cover, under the cover of Nightfall, it'd be different.
Here's the thing, okay? Derek was a Trumbull Eagle, right?
Golden Eagle.
Okay.
Shine brightly.
Okay. I was an Eastwood Eagle, right? So we're both Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I played on the Eagles for the Jordan Y football team under Coach Fleming when I was in the fourth grade. So I've been an Eagle twice, two different tenures. But I'm smart enough to know that owls represent WGU Indiana, who we are thrilled to have as a sponsor of this program, wgu.edu/Indiana, for all of the opportunities that lie ahead of you when your ambition never rests. So therefore, favors owls.
No, I'm thrilled with WGU Indiana's partnership, but an eagle would dominate an owl. That's factually true. I want to make sure that we're accurate on this show. I don't want to be like other channels and spout out a bunch of lies. I want to make sure that everything is true and accurate.
Uh-huh.
Fair and balanced, as some say.
Okay. speaking of other networks, I found it interesting that all of a sudden the tables turned a little bit on Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, well, I think he said something that he shouldn't have said, and you end up putting your foot in your mouth. For those that aren't aware, and this was pretty big news on Monday. We're taping right now on Tuesday, and this is going to debut night of. Stephen A. had mentioned that baseball, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but has a problem because Shohei Ohtani is a huge mega star right now and just killing it and is kind of a unicorn as a pitcher and a slugger, but he needs a translator. He speaks a little bit of English, but has a translator with him, and it's bad for baseball to not have an English-speaking star. And I'm thinking to myself, look at all these other stars. Look at, like, actual MVPs. Like, if Josh Donaldson walked in the room right now, would you have any idea who that is?
Right.
Would anybody?
But, Derek.
Christian Yelich?
Here's the thing about Shohei Ohtani, though. Is he a star?
Right now, he's the MVP front runner, and I think because he pitches.
But is he a star?
And hits. I think because he pitches and hits, he has star potential. The problem is.
There are no
stars in baseball.
But is correct, which means he's not a star. If there are no stars in baseball and he is a baseball player, that would mean, through deductive reasoning, that he is not a star.
Stephen A.'s point was, we're just talking about the world of baseball. I agree with you.
Okay,
I agree with you that baseball stars don't exist compared to NFL and NBA stars.
There's no doubt that Ohtani is a unicorn is a good way of putting it. I mean, he's Babe Ruth here, right? And the fact that he's pitching and hitting home runs. And it's, you know, I remember when he was coming into baseball, the anomaly about him was, well, here's a guy that is a pitcher that also is this phenomenal hitter. And his swing is Griffey Jr.-esque. I mean, he's got an unbelievable swing. Now, all of that aside, here's what's interesting to me about Stephen A. Smith's comments, and to your point, to paraphrase it, basically it was, if this is a league trying to market stars, it is handicapped by the fact that it has stars that are not using English as their primary language. And so when you have a translator, you are going down a notch in terms of the level of oomph of what is being said of said star, right? What's fascinating to me is that Stephen A. Smith now, for the first time, presumably, is kind of getting a taste of his own medicine. I understand the point he's making, and he's not entirely wrong when he says, look, the reality is that if you have a player that you are not hearing directly them talking, but rather someone speaking for them, you are limiting the amount of star power or connection to the audience that player has. That's a fair assessment. But the way he said it, it got interpreted into a racist comment, okay? And Stephen A. Smith is now on the back pedal saying, that's not what I meant. I wasn't trying to be racist. Here, let me elaborate on what I meant. Fine. He is entitled to be able to do that. Except for that, Stephen A. Smith, to a large extent, is a person who, via the written and spoken word, has made millions of dollars by taking the words of other people and turning them into a twisted narrative that fits him pointing out to someone making racist comments.
Well, it's a topic for his show, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, in other words,
he feeds off of it.
Correct. So, when he was not giving benefit of the doubt while spouting out about somebody else's words, now all of a sudden he is expecting benefit of the doubt because of words he spouted.
Yeah. In the great Michael Scott's quote, my, how the turntables. I mean, that's kind of how it feels like. For
Michael Scott. Now, that's not the old Astros pitcher, right? That was Mike Scott.
It's The Office.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve Carell.
One of my best friends growing up, Michael Scott Hillary.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably a fairly common name, Michael and Scott.
You think so?
So, yes.
Not Michael Scott, though.
Probably is. I guess my point, though, is that baseball, that's a different discussion. Baseball's inability to market individual star players is a baseball problem. We've seen that with Mike Trout. Now, Mike Trout, well, he doesn't want to go and do it. Okay, fine. Maybe it's a little bit of a
Bryce Harper. What happened
takes two to tango.
Bryce Harper is an interesting one because Bryce Harper was on the radar when he was like 17.
Yeah.
And he has lived up to it, up to the point where he got the huge mega deal with Philadelphia, although the average annual salary I thought would have been higher for what he signed when he was coming out of free agency with Washington. But Bryce Harper, is he a megastar? Or has he been kind of supplanted?
Name recognition-wise, he still is. I just think, like, if you took – let's say you took, like, the 10th most – visible NBA player.
I'm gonna pick out some major league. Are we gonna play this game today?
Damian Lillard almost is a bigger star in American sports than anybody in baseball.
I don't disagree with that.
And that's not to say that Damian Lillard is better than Otani or Fernando Tatis Jr. or any of these other guys. It's just
Tatis is pretty big.
The NBA just markets their guys. It's a very individual sport. Baseball's always been about the teams.
You want me to go watch the Cardinals versus the Cubs? American or National League? I'm gonna quiz you here on All Stars.
Oh, God, don't put me on the spot with All-Stars. This is the least amount of baseball that I've watched in my life. There was a guy that was in the Home Run Derby last night for the A's who I've never heard of in my life. But I feel like that happens a lot with guys on
the
Oakland A's.
I've got
the
list here of the roster. I'm going to give you a name, and you want to play our famous game?
No, I don't want to. I'm not prepared for it. I'll be too embarrassed.
All-star or guy that I went to school with. You ready?
I'm too embarrassed to play this.
Sean Williams.
Guy you went to school with.
That is correct. Yeah. Sean Ball Williams, by the way. Okay. Saw him last night. Michael Brantley.
No, he plays for the Indians, right? All-star.
Not with the Indians.
Okay, who's he with now?
I believe Houston.
He was with the Indians.
Is it Houston?
Okay, sure.
Okay. You want another one?
Sure.
Okay. Cedric Mullins.
Guy you went to high school with.
No, I went to high school with Cedric Benson.
Who's Cedric Mullins?
Cedric Mullins is an outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles.
Oh, come on. You did that because Jordanson right here.
Huh?
He's a big O's fan.
Okay.
I don't know anybody. I don't think I know anyone on the Orioles.
Okay, you want one more?
Yeah, sure.
You sure you want one more?
No, you've already embarrassed me,
I don't think you're embarrassed, actually. Whit Merrifield.
There's just no way that you went to high school with somebody named Whit. So he's a baseball all-star.
You know, Mike Hillary's son, Whit. That's his name, Whit.
Yeah.
Whit Merrifield is a second baseman of the Kansas City Royals. Yeah.
Matt Olson was the guy that I was thinking of last night that was in the Home Run Derby. And I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. None.
How about?
And I'm actually ashamed. Like, there are probably some people watching or listening that are like, oh, my God, this guy's got a sports show and he doesn't recognize some of these all-stars. Look. This show, over the years, and we've been doing it almost 10 years next month, it's a football, basketball, and racing show.
Because of the city we're in.
Yeah, you know,
there's a shortstop for the Boston Red Sox with an X in his initials.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Xander Bogaerts.
Nice.
Yeah. Those guys I'll know, though, because, like, I still pay attention to the Yankees. But, like, some of these NL teams, like, who's the best player on the Rockies? Like, I guess I know Trevor Story. I guess I know some. But there are just a ton of – like, I haven't watched a single A's game or a Diamondbacks game or –
Is Bryce Harper not in the All-Star game?
Oh, maybe not. It's amazing if you're not in the All-Star game this year because so many people have opted out and they've replaced a lot of them.
I don't see him.
I think
listed.
All of the Astros opted out. I don't think there's a single Astro that's playing in the All-Star game tonight.
Why?
Well, you have the choice. Some of them are hurt, but you have the choice to opt out. You don't have to do it.
Did they not get the?
And that's another thing. You know, kind of circling back to Ohtani, we're dissing this guy, or I guess Stephen A. is dissing this guy for having a translator. Ohtani did the home run derby, right? He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to say, I'll pitch and hit in the All-Star game.
You and I talked about the fact that I remember asking, and I didn't mean it in some, but, you know, how long did Ichiro play for the Mariners? How long was he in Major League Baseball?
Well, he was in Major League Baseball like 20 years, but he played for the Mariners 16 years of it, probably.
He was using an interpreter in the last year that he was there.
And he spoke English.
You think he did speak English?
That was always the rumor. I'm not sure if they verified that or not, but the rumor was that he always just went through the translator because that's what he was comfortable with.
My favorite moment when it comes to bilingual athletes, I've told this story before. You've heard it many times. Edgar Renteria, good player.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Renteria, who won a World Series with the Marlins. And was,
I think he won another one with the Giants, didn't he?
He kind of became a journeyman, yeah. And he became kind of that, like, trade deadline piece that was always the final piece for people.
He felt like he got traded a lot.
But he was with the Cardinals in 2000 when I covered them, and he was a good player. And over the course of the year, you know, if he was a critical piece of games or whatever else, we'd go in after games to interview Edgar Renteria. And it was always, you know, this like sheepish, no ingles, you know, okay. And so I don't ever remember him using an interpreter, but it was very broken English to the point where it was like, okay, like I can't use that as a soundbite.
Right. Yeah.
So at the end of the year, the Cardinals win the NL Central, and they're doing the champagne thing in the locker room, the clubhouse, whatever you want to call it. And Renteria was on the phone. And
can you just not
– can you hand me the other Frisbee?
No, I'm absolutely not handing you the Frisbee. That crash that you just heard was Jake knocking over the Frisbee.
I didn't knock it over. Just gravity.
This is actually a good story, which is rare for you. So continue. I don't want you to lose your train of thought.
Well, just so you know, that the Alley Cat's now on board with us. Can you hand me that other
one? I'm actually interested in what you have to say, and that – very rarely happens.
So Edgar Renteria is on his flip phone in the clubhouse, and he's talking to somebody, and he's saying like, oh, yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, I couldn't believe, you know. I think we play on Wednesday, and we're in New York. And I'm like,
where'd this come from?
So I walk up to him. He hangs up the phone and looks at me, and I look at him, and I said, hey, man, like, I thought you didn't speak English. And he looked me dead in the eye and said, to you guys, I don't.
Nice. Good for him. Yeah.
And I'm sure Ichiro was the same way.
He should be in the Hall of Fame for that alone. Ichiro's already going to get in. But
Edgar Renteria, was a very good player.
Oh, yeah. Did he win an actual World Series MVP?
I think he did.
I thought he might have.
He might have with the Marlins.
Let me look that up.
Although I would think
I'm almost positive he won one with the San Francisco Giants.
You may be right. Okay, but I'm going to guess, though.
Yeah, he was World Series MVP with the Giants in 2010.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he won that in 97. He had the game-winning hit
I'm gonna
in
say
game
that,
seven, right?
I'm going to say that 97 for the Marlins, that the MVP was LeVon Hernandez. Is that right?
You're probably right. You want me to look? World Series MVP. LeVon Hernandez, yes. Renteria had the game-winning hit, though.
Okay.
And Craig Counsell scored, right?
That sounds right.
I think that's – or maybe yeah, I have that flipped. Maybe Renteria scored the winning run in Craig Counsell.
But the Marlins have won two World
Series. No, Renteria had it.
The Marlins have won two World Series, correct?
Yeah, but Renteria wasn't on the 03 team.
I'm going to say that 03 MVP Josh Beckett.
He was unbelievable in –
was he the MVP?
Those playoffs. Let me look. He was great against the Yankees.
I'm going to guess Josh Beckett. I could be wrong.
Yep, Josh Beckett.
Do you ever just thank yourself that you have access to this kind of steel trap?
No, it's really amazing. Like, your level of knowledge from, like, 1984 to 1994 is exemplary.
97 and 03.
The problem
might as well extend that.
It's 2021 now.
I'm not disputing that it starts to.
That's the problem.
We pumped the brakes a little bit around 2003. I'm not disputing that. Once that's I started covering sports professionally for a living from 03 to 21, it all gets intermixed.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think of when was the year that you really kind of stopped trying? Like 2007?
Stopped
eight?
Trying?
Yeah.
About of what?
Just in general. Because it was before I met you, because you had clearly kind of checked
so?
Out, yeah, okay. when I first met you 10 years ago.
Okay.
So is there a year off the top of your head where you?
Probably around, probably 90.
Yeah, I was going to say.
About 90.
Yeah, I was going to say. North Central, probably at some point.
If you talk to people at North Central, they would say, yeah, he was the definition of cruising through mediocrity. That is correct.
We have some awards to give away, none of which Jake ever wins. So we're going to do that.
Not all of us could have been fabulous columnists for the Eagle's Eye.
An exciting announcement from one of our sponsors.
Oh, really?
A life announcement, which is actually pretty
okay.
cool. So
that's
we're going
cool.
to give him some props for that. And plenty more to get to, including Victory Field's birthday. So we'll talk about the great, glorious ballpark downtown in Indianapolis. Plenty to get to here on ISC. Stick around on Corey and Schultz.
The drive, the take, foul, and it goes!
Lobbing it to the back of the end zone. They're going to say it's a touchdown!
Left foot gets through. Goal for Vargas. Hamilton will score!
Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service, but at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Shot at the buzzer.
Got it! She got it!
Oh my goodness, what a shot!
Brady, hello!
Did it again.
Hello!
Made the highlight reel again. That goes to Metzger.
Whoa,
kind of room to run. Down the middle of the field, and he will not be touched. Jackson, hello!
There we go.
Stokes throws it. Caught ball, ricochets!
Wow.
A huge hit!
Wow.
This has been an amazing display of goal scoring.
Good news, Derek. Look what I picked up during, off the ground. Right.
We got to mention the Indy Alley Cats.
I know.
A little bit later on in the
show. You
know
how I'll remind you? Just a quick
darn it. That hit my neck. That hit the vein in my neck.
What? What are you? You're going to bleed out now because you got hit by a disc?
You're lucky. I went to the JCC yesterday and did shrugs. Yeah. So. Barely felt anything. Upright row.
Yeah, I'm sure.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Bailey.
Usually my hands are better than that, but I'm struggling today.
You know, every week I say that this is the worst show that we've done. To this point.
We've done
about a year of shows.
Let me tell you something. We had a meeting. I did a focus group last week. Kids love this. What did you say?
There's no way that any kids watch this.
Oh,
show.
No. They love
no
it.
No way.
Market research says so, Derek.
Okay. Bailey and Wood Financial Group, Indiana's hometown mortgage lender. Give them a call at 855-350-HOME or go online at bawfg.com. They've got their golf outing coming
BAWFG.
Up August 12th. And I committed you to that. Are you good?
Okay.
We're not going to golf. We're just going to shake hands and kiss babies.
There will be kids there because of the program.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, kids, like especially the Frisbees.
And well, Mike has they love a bunch of kids. Yeah.
BawFG, BAWFG.com. Mm-hmm. August 12th is what day of the week?
Thursday, I think.
Is there an IndyCar race that weekend?
Yes, but it's here. It's the one that's on the road course.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think because I checked the schedule. That's the thing. The best part, actually, about getting laid off is that I stopped becoming your secretary, because that's essentially what I was for eight and a half years. I was your
wonderful.
Personal secretary.
That was great.
Now, what's Jake doing this week? Why don't you ask Jake? Here's his cell phone number. God.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I thought you would know. I do know, but you ask him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want people to use me.
Okay.
As far as that was concerned, 5-star customer service, 13 Indiana branch locations for Bailey and Wood. Check them out online, bawfg.com, 855-350.
Market's still hot, right?
Market is still hot, but interest rates are still low. They're not historically low anymore. But if you want to refi or get pre-approval to buy a home, call Mike Williams.
You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but when it comes to interest in this show, Derek, never been lower.
Well, today, yeah, is not a great example of that, for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout-out and a happy birthday. We've got the Busch Stadium shirt here, which, unfortunately, I was never able to actually attend a game in Busch Stadium. I also never got to attend a game at Market Square Arena, which I'm kind of bummed about. Didn't
really?
Come out here. Yeah. Well, I came out to Indiana in 01, and I didn't live in Indy until 06. But Victory Field turned 25 on Sunday. July 11th, 1996 is when it opened. And I sent a tweet about it, and I was actually kind of surprised how many people. I thought people knew that Victory Field was turning 25.
I think it's one of those things.
Maybe not.
That people are aware of, but you kind of forget. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, really?
Or today is the 25th anniversary.
Right.
Maybe, you know, they got rained out. So I don't think they were able to kind of give it a proper celebration, even though they've done some other things leading up to it. So maybe that's why the tweet took some people by surprise. But you would never know that ballpark is 25
Correct.
Years old. I mean, it is. I know we've got to sometimes, you know, be like homers, because it's Indiana and whatever else, but I'm telling you, like, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. There's a reason
it is nice.
Why it's voted as either the best or one of the best facilities in minor league baseball every year.
There are two things I think that maintain the lifespan of a stadium. And one of them is the neighborhood around it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a stadium that, you know, you build, and then over the course of 60 years, the neighborhood around it starts to deteriorate, then the stadium itself starts to become an eyesore, whatever, however you want to look at it.
I mean, and that was kind of the issue with Busch Stadium, right?
Correct.
Kind of an industrial drive-through area. It wasn't a neighborhood.
Correct. And so, you know, with Victory Field, you're not going to get that because it's downtown,
yeah.
right? So everything's right mm-hmm. there, and, you know, you got the JW and everything around it is nice. But also just the way it was built. I mean, brick is always looks great. It's a wonderful park, no doubt. Busch Stadium, to me, I went to the final game at Busch Stadium. When I think of Busch Stadium during my childhood, and I spent a lot of time there as a kid, the beer vendor that you've heard me do before, Derek,
mm-hmm.
I got to move the mic so I don't blow the audio. Come beer!
Yeah.
Come beer!
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking at the floor again? Why are you staring at the floor?
It's weird. Whenever you yell into the microphone, I get uncomfortable. Seems to happen a lot.
But I'm telling you, there are people that when they hear that, say to themselves, I remember that guy, 1983.
Well, you have to bring it closer to you now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Come back!
Okay, no. Don't see. Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Jordan's frantically waving his arms in the control room because you just overmodulated the whole thing.
What is remarkable to me about Victory Field turning 25 years old, meaning that it is more than a third the lifespan that Busch Stadium had, which also was called Victory Field and Perry Stadium during its lifetime. But Victory Field now, Derek, is older than was the RCA Dome when it was imploded.
Yeah, wild.
And it is 1 month shy of the age Market Square was when Market Square was imploded. And Market Square's implosion was also just an anniversary of that 20 years ago.
Yeah, we don't let stadiums grow old anymore.
Correct.
And I'm really hoping that we let this one, because it's not a major league stadium and because it's family owned, hopefully we'll let that happen. You know, I would like to think that Camden Yards would be around 75 years from now. It's such a cool ballpark and a unique place, but
you know the question I
always
ask. You're always
looking for the bigger things.
One of the questions I've always, and I'll never know the answer to this, but it has always fascinated me, and that is, what is the 10-year era, or what is the period of time that a stadium has to go through, and how long is that period for it to transition from dump to totally cool, historic, and nostalgic venue.
It seemed to me that a lot of venues needed to survive the 80s in order for that to happen. Because think about, you know, Hoosier Gym in Knightstown. They were talking about taking that down, right. I remember, and that was, you know, and then the movie happened in whatever year, 86.
Right.
And then, you know, that saved the whole thing. But I think some of it too, Jake, is that, and you're nostalgic about this, and I get it because you were a kid during this era, but for most people that didn't grow up with them, those cookie cutter, perfect circle, multi-purpose stadiums
right.
were eyesores. They just didn't age well, you know? There was nothing unique about them. They all kind of looked the same and felt the same. You weren't able to really differentiate them on TV.
But if you look at Wrigley and Fenway.
Yeah.
Both built in the teens, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
In 1955, did people think Wrigley Field was a dump?
Yeah, or 1975? I mean, right. I don't know.
As other cities, and when Riverfront and Three Rivers – and Busch Stadium and the Oakland Coliseum, as they were all opening up in the mid-70s, were Chicago Cubs fans like, I can't believe we've got to go to this dump when every other
probably,
team has a palace.
Yeah, there probably were people that said that. So I don't know if there's a definite age of where it becomes dumpy, but what those two places, I mean, Fenway and Wrigley are obviously the two Kauffman Stadium. How about that in Kansas City? Or even Chavez Ravine, even though that's maybe a little bit less unique where the Dodgers play. Those stadiums all have a uniqueness or a charm that Oakland Coliseum, Riverfront, Three Rivers, Shea Stadium just didn't have.
Yeah, Kauffman Stadium at least has the fountains, yeah. Right? So does the Angels Park.
It does.
I like the Angels Park. Have you been to it?
No.
I like
there have been complaints about the Angels Park, though, right?
Like what?
That it's not – that's kind of dumpy, even though it's fairly new.
I liked it because
when was that,
concourse...
the late 90s or very early 2000s?
I don't think that's right. I think it's been renovated, but I think it's the original, right? 60s.
The original Angels Stadium was in Anaheim?
I'm saying the one that they're playing in now.
Yeah?
Well, the Angels played originally, I think, outside of Los Angeles, but I'm saying – what I'm saying is, since they moved to Anaheim, I believe this is the same stadium. It's just been renovated. The concourse has kind of that, like, soft, rubbery surface as you walk around.
You're right.
Like what Victor-
Angel Stadium.
What year did it open?
1966.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wow. So,
but it's been renovated several times.
Okay. I did not know that. For some reason, I thought that was a newer park. I don't know why I would have thought that.
Now,
they've got that rock fountain and stuff.
That's what I mean.
Those are all renovations.
Kauffman Stadium, which was formerly Royal Stadium, but it also, they have managed to continue to put lipstick on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in pretty good shape. I don't know if you know this or not, Derek, but Kauffman Stadium, which is where the Royals play, is connected to Arrowhead Stadium via underground tunnels.
I only know that because you told me that.
Mm-hmm. We have been together 10 years, haven't we?
Yeah. Where you kind of retell the same stories.
I think actually what's happening here, folks are witnessing it live in person, is we've just simply been together too long and we've run out of material. We'd like to thank you for watching and supporting us for the last 10 years.
I would like to think Bankers Life Fieldhouse will also hold on and stand the test of time. One stadium that I'm not confident will stand the test of time is Lucas Oil.
I totally agree with that.
I think it'll probably be at least another 10 years, but I think 10 years from now we'll be having serious discussions about either a major renovation or a brand new stadium.
Unpopular opinion here. I apologize. I love Indianapolis. I bleed the torch of Indiana. But unpopular opinion. Lucas Oil Stadium actually is one huge disaster. The layout of it sucks. The accessibility of it sucks.
The elevator decisions were very poor.
The coming down the escalator of death into the Bud Light zone where everybody's standing together and it's bottlenecking and people all of a sudden now are at risk of falling 65 feet off the escalator because it's backed up.
And you have
not
like two elevator wells. I mean, it's
two elevators for the entire building sucks. The parking, don't get me started. And I get it. The press box, who cares, because everybody's getting in free, but literally the game is a rumor from there. The top section of it, All of it.
There are some really bad seats in that place.
There are
yeah.
top fuel dragsters hanging upside down from the ceiling when you walk in.
You open the roof and the sun is beating down on that end zone, and it just puts people in an oven basically because there's no breeze. There are a lot of – to me, Lucas Oil Stadium isn't a disaster per se. But
disaster
is
by a strong word.
It is the Great American Ballpark of NFL stadiums. It's fine. It's whatever. It's completely unremarkable. If you are ranking all of the stadiums, Lucas Oil Stadium probably is 16th or 17th.
You know what? And I know
that's how I view it.
I know that I'm bringing up a subject that we've brought up a lot, and I've hit ad nauseum. I totally get it, and I apologize for it. But to me, while I understand that aesthetically it is a beautiful building, and I understand,
I love the brick.
I mean, windows. I get it, right? Yeah. And the window's cool, and there's a lot about it that is a marvel. I understand all of that. However, it is so cavernous and so big that there is zero intimacy within it. And as a result of that, my apologies to the Colts because that has nothing to do. They're an innocent victim of this. It is a bad game experience. It's a boring game experience. There's no intimacy. There's no energy. When you were at the RCA Dome, you felt like it was 55. Yeah. I mean, the whole city was in there, and you felt
it
like
shook.
It was correct. Same with Market Square.
And I've been in Lucas Oil Stadium for the 2009 AFC Championship game and, a bunch of really – the epic comeback against the Patriots, a bunch of really big moments, and it just – it never really reached the volume and the feeling that you got in the dome.
It's an intimacy.
Yeah. Because I think the sound goes kind of everywhere.
Correct.
Whereas you felt like everything was right on top of you at the old dome.
The TWA dome, or the dome at Edward Jones America Center or whatever in St. Louis. Derek, I covered those teams, the greatest show on turf, which was, they were the buzz of the NFL. And you'd go in that building, and granted, that team was built to play on turf, and they were fast as hell. But watching it, I'm up there watching those games, and I'm looking at the other side of the stadium, and I'm like, man, those people are like in a different zip code. It's weird to think that we're watching the same game because they're so far away. There was no communal bond feeling, and the same thing happens at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get into a stadium rant.
No,
but
that's kind of what
we always talk about. The fact that Victory Field is 25, and, you wonder, God, Lucas Oil Stadium is – this will be the 15th season, right? 08 was the first year? No, so 14. 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I lost count. 14th season.
That was impressive.
14th season.
Yeah.
For Lucas Oil Stadium.
Really?
Yeah. I was in the first game. They got destroyed by the Bears.
I remember
just
that.
Just absolutely destroyed.
Forte?
Yeah, Lance Briggs, I think, pick-sixed Manning. I mean, Manning had the knee issue, remember?
That
he had
the bursa sack.
That's
right?
When everybody learned what a bursa sack was.
Right.
And the Colts, I think, started 2-3 that year and then went on a crazy win streak before ultimately losing to the Chargers again in the playoffs.
Darren Sproles.
Again, and Seifries. That was the game in San Diego.
Yeah. Seifries, the punter.
Because the year before, it was the game where Billy Volek. It took over for Rivers.
Yeah.
Rivers got hurt, and Tomlinson was hurt, and Gates was hurt, and that was the last game at the RCA Dome.
Did you say that we have to talk about the Alley Cats too?
Yeah, we're going to mention our friends with the Alley Cats. We have some features to get to
as well.
You
look like you have PTSD when I do that.
Also, a cow and a dog have teamed up in Alabama.
Hell yes.
And we will tell you that tale.
Do we have an update on them? I'd like to think in this scenario, which of us is the cow and which is the dog?
I think I'm the cow.
Zero chance.
Yeah, because I provide like the meat and the milk and I have lots of purposes on this show.
You get slaughtered. That's good. No, you are.
The dog is just kind of to sit there and go and be dumb.
No.
Like that's basically the dog of the show.
The dog drives the cow.
The cow is leading the way if you watch the video footage.
Well, then clearly I'm the cow.
Okay, well, I'm the cow.
But the dog is not just a dumb panting dog.
We're only
going
to talk about this if we agree on the parameters
of the
discussion.
Do we have an update on this?
And the parameters of the discussion are, I'm the cow, you're the dog.
Do we have an update on this?
I'm looking for an update.
Okay.
We'll come back and see if we can find one next. Okay. Square and Schultz, ISC Sports Network. Be very, very careful.
Okay.
Be very careful.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Your life is on the go. Now your viewing habits can be on the go. With the ISC Sports Network app, your team is at your fingertips. You can download years worth of content from the ISC Sports Network library. High school, college, special events, weekly and monthly shows, wherever you find your favorite app. And you can always find out more information at iscsportsnetwork.com.
I'm supposed to talk.
Well, this is your. You do the Alley Cats one.
I do the Alley Cats.
See, this is why I'm the cow and you're the dog. MyAlleyCats.com for our friends with the Indy Alley Cats.
They told me actually in the notes, they said, listen, what we'd like is one of you can talk, and then we need the better looking of the two to just sit there and rotate a disc on their fingertips.
Actually, they just want this shot next to their logo.
I don't think so.
That's all they want.
Actually, if you were to ask people, Derek, if we were to take
a survey, some discs if we were going to thrown around.
Okay, if we were going to take a survey, which of the two is the pretty face that you'd like next to the disc? Although, can I tell you something?
You'd be surprised. How many people
yesterday, I went to the gas station yesterday, and I'm walking in, and the guy standing out front says, "We're closed. Our system's down." And I said, "Oh, okay." And then the guy next to him goes, "You're Jake Query," and I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "We went to school together." I said, "Oh, yeah, okay."
Hey, buddy. Hey, pal. Hey, chief.
Yeah. And so, you know the first thing he said to me?
Huh.
And your face got fat.
No.
It's exactly what he said to me. He goes, yeah, you're gaining weight in your face.
And so you haven't slept since, right? Because you just obsess over these comments about
I'm telling you, it's the beta blockers.
You probably went right to Shannon and said, guess what? What happened to me at the gas station?
No,
Two seconds later.
It's the beta blockers, and I'm aware of it, but
your
I have
done.
Your
face is not fat at all.
30 miles over the last 5 days I've done.
Okay, well, relax. You're going to hurt yourself.
What do you mean?
You're old, and your heart sucks, so you need to take it easy a little bit.
Okay, well, both of those statements are true. Alley Cats, by the way, you want to talk about, Derek, we mentioned earlier kids, right? Family fun.
100%.
That's pretty much what you get with the Alley Cats, among other things, right? But basically what we're talking here is how would you describe the sport itself? It's football with a disc.
Yeah, I mean, it's most like football, I guess, of the basketball, baseball, football. But there are elements of basketball, I think, in it, particularly rebounding.
Yeah.
You know, when you jump up and some of these guys and the explosive athletes the explosion that you need to have as an athlete to play this game, it's incredible what they're able to do out there. They're on the road for the next month. You know,
okay.
The Colts start training camp here pretty soon.
Right,
so they're out of Grand Park. They're going to go to Westfield High School. So the next time that the Alley Cats and MyAlleyCats.com for their schedule are on their home field at Westfield, you and I will be there because we're going to do the first throw on August 15th.
That's right.
10-year anniversary of the show.
What day of the week is that?
It is a Sunday.
Am I around?
Yeah. It's right after the race is Saturday.
Are you sure?
Yes, I checked your schedule, Jake. I know the comings and goings of Jake Query still, unfortunately.
Have you been hacking into my phone calendar again?
Oh, God. I saw what was on your phone one time and never again. I do not ever want to see what's on that phone.
Okay.
And that camera roll. Minnesota Windchill will be the next opponent August 15th. MyAlleyCats.com for tickets.
MyAlleyCats.
And you'll get the chance to see us as well. So photos, autographs, all of that, absolutely free. No personalized greetings from me, at least. I don't know. You might do to Dave or whatever else. I don't do that.
Yeah. I'll even, you know what? I'll even exchange text messages with anybody if they'd like.
Yeah, it's a little weird that you give out your phone number.
It's just a little strange. Okay.
A couple of features to get to, including our Love That Play, brought to you by our friends at Love Heating and Cooling, 353-2141, love-hvac.com. Now, this isn't an actual play. It's been a little bit of a dead week of sports, right? Because you've got the Major League Baseball All-Star break right now. I guess you do have the NBA Finals, but it's been a little bit of a break in between Game 3 and Game 4 with the extra day. I'm actually going to give a little bit of love to other countries like Nigeria and Australia for knocking off Team USA in exhibition play.
And Greg Popovich is getting a little bit testy about it.
Well, yeah. This isn't really supposed to happen. Team USA with pro players, which, as everybody knows, started in 92 with the Dream Team, entering this year, were 54-2 in Olympic exhibitions. Now, obviously, they've matched that.
Can you name everybody in this photo, Derek?
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan. Is that Kyle Lowry? And Harrison Barnes, maybe?
That is Harrison Barnes for sure.
I think that's right.
Okay.
You know, this roster isn't great. It's not what we're used to. You know, it's not the Dream Team. There's no LeBron. There's no Steph. But still, Jake, you've got a team with Durant and you will eventually have Booker and Middleton once they're done, I guess, with the NBA Finals. But Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum and Draymond Green.
I mean, there's still some nice players
there, right?
Some,
I mean, if you're ranking the NBA players, you've got probably a lot of guys that are in the 8 to 25 group, which still should be good enough to beat Nigeria and some of these other countries.
But let me tell you two things that's happened since 92, okay? So the United States in 88 put together an Olympic team with John Thompson that it was not a good roster. And, you know, I think Willie Anderson
Bronze?
And Ricky Berry.
Did they win bronze that year?
Bronze is right. And that jump started and kind of accelerated, actually probably finalized the sentiment of, look, we got to go with pro players here. Mm. So the Dream Team comes about in 92. Basketball, Derek, it started in about 1992. And then really when Yao Ming came into the league, the NBA itself started with the globalization of the game of basketball. They started with taking Dikembe Mutombo and other players over to Africa as outreach to go to different countries and teach kids about basketball. I mean, everyone knew of basketball anyway because of Jordan, but it really ramped up the interest level from an international standpoint in the game. In addition to that, from an Olympic standpoint, a lot of countries started using players that had the most peripheral of connections to said country. Trey Lyles plays on the Canadian Olympic team because his mother, I believe, is Canada or
dual citizenship.
Yeah. You know, you see this a lot with different players. Nigeria had – how many players in the NBA were on Nigeria's team?
Oh, I don't even know.
There were like four or five NBA players on the team because they had, you know, oh, I had an uncle that lived in Nigeria, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So I'm going to play for the Nigerian team.
Or if you're of that descent, you can choose to play for them. Yeah,
but
represent
the
flag.
So my point being – losing to Nigeria or Australia, while still when you have Kevin Durant and other guys that are the best players in the world, is a little hard to swallow. It's different than losing to Nigeria or Australia in 92, 96, or 2000.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, the game.
They're totally different rosters.
And the first time that I really started to notice the gap tightening was the 02 World Championships disaster into the 04, which was also a disaster in Athens when they finished with the bronze and they got beat by the Argentinians, I believe.
The 02.
Manu Ginobili.
The World Basketball Championships that were in Indianapolis. That was what year? 02?
02, where they finished sixth.
That was terrible. Yeah. Now, that was the
That was like Amari Stoudemire, right?
Baron Davis.
Yeah. I think Amari Stoudemire was on that team.
Reggie Miller was on the team, right? Or no, I'm sorry. Reggie Miller might have been on that team.
Was he? He was on Dream Team 2, wasn't he? 96?
He was on that, yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Reggie Miller was on the 02 team.
Okay. I'll look. Let me look up a roster for that.
That was the team. That was the year where I was working at Channel 6 at the time and was able to freelance for TV One New Zealand, and I actually did, like, live shots.
Reggie Miller was on that team.
Yeah. In New Zealand. And New Zealand was kind of the underdog Cinderella story. They had Sean Marks that played for the Miami Heat.
So was J.O.
Kyle Penny.
You had two Pacers on that team.
That's what I thought. I thought J.O. was.
Ben Wallace, Sean Marion, Andre Miller, Baron Davis, Michael Finley, Ray Florence.
Elton Brand.
Elton Brand. Antonio Davis, who would have been with the Raptors at that point, and Jay Williams. Paul Pierce, too. I mean, still,
that's a decent roster.
That's a good roster. What are they doing? Sixth place?
Baron Davis was a good player.
Yeah.
I think we forget he was a good player.
Yeah, Baron Davis was a good player. But that's when I really noticed the gap kind of closing. But still, I mean, you shouldn't lose. You should win gold every single year. There's
well, you
got to
wonder,
the class
of it. Are these just tune-ups and then all of a sudden, boom, once the games count?
It's kind of hard for me to believe that for it to happen twice. You know, kind of hard for me to believe that this is going to be some romp. Like, could Team USA still win the gold? Yeah, of course they could, but certainly they're not going to romp their way there. It's not going to be an easy path.
By the way, our each and every week Love That Play is brought to you by, as Derek had mentioned, Love Heating and Air Conditioning, love-hvac.com, 317-353-2141 is their telephone number. Been around for over 100 years in Central Indiana, and how do you last that long? Four generations deep of a family business, very simple. You do it with great product, knowledge of that product, integrity, and, of course, 24-hour on-call maintenance. All of those things you will find with Love Heating and Air Conditioning. Derek, we have yet to get to Bite or Bullshit, right?
Got to pick our winner of the week, too.
I have my winner
of
the week.
So we'll
do that next.
Okay. Cow and dog. Don't want to forget about cow and dog.
You know that cow is my first word.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And I have a stuffed cow.
Yeah, which is kind of weird.
Why is that weird?
54-year-old man or however old
48.
You are. Okay, whatever it is.
And most people find that charming.
I was close. That you still have a stuffed cow?
Oh, yeah.
In the two-bedroom apartment where you live
they
alone?
I love it. Those that have been blessed to see it have been thrilled.
Here's my two-bedroom apartment where I live alone. Here's my Charles Manson signed postcard. And, hey, I still have my stuffy from when I was a little boy.
It's a cow. Call it cow.
Yeah.
You don't have anything like that from
it's
when you were
weird.
A kid? No. Oh, that's right. You had to split everything in thirds anyway.
I did. I got the short end of the stick, for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of Ken dolls that were left over from the Barbie sets from my two sisters.
You still have them?
We'll come back. More features next. I'm not going to comment on that publicly. It's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
At Bailey & Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family-owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
But calling in time.
Oh, no!
It's good.
One is good.
There you go.
Wow. Dawson makes a great catch.
Spin, win, three, bury it for Leland Walker.
Tie the game they do with a dunk by Malik Edmonds. What a play.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel a little momentum starting to fall Leland's way.
Batted in the air. Wrestler. Wrestler.
Whoa.
We're back on Corey and Schultz. Got some cow and dog content to get to here in just a bit, which I know
dog.
You're waiting for.
You keep saying Doug. It's cow and dog.
Cow and dog. That's what I said.
You said Doug.
I said cow and
no,
dog content.
No, you didn't. I'm telling you.
Did I say Doug?
Yes.
Are you guys – see, Jordan and Jake aren't even listening to the show, and I don't blame them. I would have checked out a long time ago. We'll see if we have to get that in post. I'm 99.9% sure that I said Doug.
Michael Jordan was 99.9% certain he retired as a Bull. Guess what? Came back a Wizard.
Brought to you by our friends at Chateau Kitchens, at Chateau Kitchens on Instagram, at Chateau Kitchens on Facebook.
Chat-E-A-U.
To see some of the before and after pictures. Also, ChateauKitchens.com if you want to visit them online. Indy's premier home remodeler and cabinet services as well, cabinetry and what they did in my house. They renovated my kitchen a couple years ago. It's spectacular. You've been in there.
I have.
Not by invite. But you've been in there before to see it, how great it is.
Right in.
Steven and his team will take care of you. They'll put a designer in there to lay out the blueprints. They'll give you a project manager. Anything interior-wise, remodeling-wise, Chateau Kitchens. I know it says kitchens in their name, but they can do bathrooms, bedrooms, whatever you want them to do. Check them out,
ChateauKitchens.com. Are they the one that put in the you got that shower with the two shower heads?
No, they didn't do that one.
Don't you and your wife have different schedules?
Yeah.
So why do you need the shower with the two shower heads? Like, are you ever showering at the same time? You ever mix that up? I'm going to go with the right shower this time.
Okay. What do you want me to say?
Do you have your own specific design? This one's my shower and that's her? Like, how does that work?
No, it's a community shower.
Okay. What are you running, a YMCA over there? Are you just getting the boys over for some pickup ball?
It's nice to have
a big
shower.
Hey, guys, shower off. Come on in.
Even if it's just you in there, it's nice to have a nice big shower. Instead of like a curtain and a bathtub, like, you know, I did that for so many years. It was nice to have like a nice big shower. There's a lot of room in there.
Okay.
It's nice.
I don't dispute that, but they're two and they're like 8 feet apart from one another. I just wondered if the two of you were in there showering at the same time.
What context did I let you in to see my shower?
You were all excited about the renovations. Yeah. Let me show you. Wait till phase three here. Let me show you the shower renovations.
Well, our renovations were originally kind of a disaster.
I totally remember.
Yeah. And then until Chateau Kitchens came aboard.
Remember that one time you called
and
asked if you guys could
problems.
Stay with me for a few nights? And I'm like, yeah.
I don't recall having that conversation. Okay. I never have gotten that.
I was like, look, I got Marriott points. You want those? Okay. I'll give you those.
ChateauKitchens.com.
Okay.
Don't let your renovations become a disaster. Have professionals come and do it, not some people in a truck that tell you that they're your friend and then they're not.
Wow.
Yeah. lost some relationships over that one.
It was appears. Bad.
How about this? This is a random winner of the week. And a lot of people will think, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't this segment be loser of the week for picking them? Because they lost. And they lost in crushing fashion. You know who I actually thought was the winner of the week? Just because I felt like they were relevant and it was a great story. And people seem to get on board with it. And we usually make fun of this group, but I think a lot of people are rooting for them. You probably won't know because this isn't really in your wheelhouse. It's not really in mine either, but it's less so in your wheelhouse.
Oh, the North Melbourne Kangaroos of the Australian Football League. I've learned the rules of Australian football now, Derek, and I've been watching it. It comes on at 5:40 in the morning our time, so I record it on FS2 and then watch it. And they had a big win over West Coast yesterday. And that's a huge road victory for them in Perth in front of 100,000. So is that who you're talking about?
Are you done? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I tuned out most of that. But international football, yes. England. England lost in penalty kicks, crushing fashion to Italy in the Euro final. But they made the Euro final. And this whole bring it home thing, people kind of got on
board
with
Wembley,
that.
Right?
They scored in the first 2 minutes of the final.
Look at this. Are those Italy or England fans?
Instagram influencers. People just went
ballistic. Which of these would you say would most have the ability to influence you?
No, I'm not going to do that. That's creepy and weird for two, like, 40-something-year-old men
look at this guy.
Go through that.
Look at you back here.
Okay, just relax. All soccer fans look like that, okay?
You're right.
I thought it was cool to have them be relevant. And Wembley Stadium, we've seen Colts crowds go crazy. There's nothing crazier than a pro-England crowd at Wembley in the Euro final when you score 2 minutes in.
Right.
People were taking their shirts off. I mean, it was
insane.
Were
the influencers?
Are you okay?
Same.
Yeah. Do you want to take another bathroom break and maybe
this to
calm
me looks like
bit?
These two gals on the end look Italian, though, right?
Okay, so now we're profiling the ethnicities of these people.
You know?
Boy, we're going to have to get a lot of this in post,
okay,
Jordan. Jake being a creep. 3, 2, 1. So I just think England's run was really it was spectacular to get back on board and have them be relevant.
I enjoyed watching that match between England and Italy. And I know that I'm going to sound like boorish, American, naive soccer
follower. Every time you talk soccer, you say that.
Okay.
You have to preface by saying that.
I get it in the course of regular seasons, and I understand all of the reasoning. It's really hard for me, Derek, in hockey, I'll say the same thing. It's really hard for me to see games come down to penalty kicks and a shootout. in reality, a penalty kick. And I realized that England, on their fourth penalty shot, it was an errant kick that did not go through. I mean, the opening was there, and he missed the kick.
Yeah, you have to get it on frame.
But for the most part, on what?
On frame.
Okay. Mm. For the most part, penalty kicks comes down to they literally should just say, here's what we're going to do. The goalie is going to come out, and we're going to flip a coin, and he's going to call heads or tails.
Look, it's luck. It's timing. It's all of that. But, Jake.
But it's the goalie leans one way, and if you happen to kick it the other.
Alternative. I'm not disputing. It's a terrible way to determine a winner. It's the only way to determine
why?
A winner.
Why? Why don't you just do sudden death?
It's complete exhaustion at that point when you've played 150 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. But, Derek,
But personal health, Jake. You could have people keel over and pass out. Like, the human body is not meant to go at that rate.
I mean, I realize we have seen players. I get it, but
I just think that's the only – they only do it because there's just no realistic alternative.
That fatigue factor ultimately gives way to somebody giving in and a score. Somebody's defense is not as solid as normal because they're fatigued.
You could still play forever and still – I mean, you still have to – even if you have a wide-open shot, you still have to put it on frame, right? I mean, we see guys screw up opportunities all the time. And I just think – it's tough to ask people to play longer than what they ask them
then
to play,
you play
for, with extra time and everything else.
You play an extra session after extra time and everything else. You play a 15-minute overtime session, but both clubs have to pull the goalie.
Yeah, but now at this point, are you getting to – I mean, we talk about how penalty kicks is kind of a mockery of it. Is that a mockery of it to not even have anybody in goal?
Not if you have a good defense. I mean –
I'm just saying, like, sometimes, you know, how much do you want to affect the, maybe not the sanctity of the game, but the professionalism of the game.
If the NBA Finals, and I get the point you're making, I mean, I understand it, and if the NBA Finals kept going into overtime, and after 10 overtimes, they were still tied, and they said, all right, you know what, each team's going to come out, and each guy's going to shoot a free throw.
It's just difficult because it is – obviously, it's much tougher to score in hockey or soccer than it is in baseball, basketball,
or
football. So I just think – look, I agree with your overall point that penalty kicks are random and stupid,
right?
And whatever. But and I've really looked at this because originally I got mad about it, and then people kind of explained it to me, and I looked further into it, and it really is the only way to determine a winner. At that point, you're just dealing with health and the safety of players for exhaustion when it comes to all of that. That's all.
Did you give your winner of the week?
Yeah, it's England. We just did a whole segment on it.
I thought that was our Love That Play.
No,
that was Nigeria
that
and
play,
Australia.
Yeah.
We are, if nothing else, completely.
Are you co-hosting this show today?
We're completely international. I'm hosting. Ugh.
Yeah, and people are going to say, Querry and Schultz hate America because they chose Nigeria and Australia and England as their winners this week, or I guess their award winners this week.
My winner of the week, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know you had one. I didn't know you were going to participate in today's show. Go ahead.
I sent a tweet yesterday about this.
Okay.
Went yesterday to get a car wash. Mm-hmm. Crew Car Wash in Castleton, north side of Indianapolis. And, you know, you got the guy that holds the paddle.
Yeah, we're on a little bit of a time constraint here. So go ahead and get to it.
And then neutral.
And he was your winner of the week. The Crew Car Wash drive neutral guy.
Alex at the north side Crew Car Wash. I love anybody, Derek, that has an enthusiasm and shows a love for their job. Because, quite frankly, I only have one right now. Well, I do IndyCar Radio. But in terms of this job, it's really hard to determine which of the two of us has either of those two emotions.
I'm happy all the time.
He did an outstanding job. He made it fun when I went through my car wash. I like anybody who has that kind of a zest when they are going through their tasks every single day, and I can appreciate it. And I thought, you know what? If everybody in life had the same joy at their job as Alex at Crew Car Wash, then the world would be a happier place.
Yeah, they have a very Chick-fil-A type.
McAllister Deli, another one.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Even though I really don't like their food. They definitely have a Chick-fil-A type atmosphere there. I don't like McAllister's Deli. That's the one thing, Jake, out here. I don't miss a lot of things about home. The delis, they don't quite get right here. It's just not.
My name is Derek Schultz, and I happen to be.
I'm just telling you. Like, there's good pizza
the
in Indianapolis.
The deli capital of the world.
There, you know, and I come from the pizza capital of the world, really, New Haven, Connecticut, and then into New York. But the deli stuff, you guys just don't.
I realize
you don't do
that
right.
You're from Paris, but when it comes to your cafes,
I'm just telling
they
you,
don't stack up to the eagle's just, eye of Trumbull, Connecticut.
You have a menu, and you pick from. No, like, I want pastrami on rye, I want mustard, I want, you know what I mean, like I just want it a la carte, and I want you to slice it in front of me on a slicer, and they don't do that. They've got like pre-packaged, like it's not the same. I want a deli, it just says deli. You know why Bagel Fair is great? Because they got a sign that says bagels out front, you know what I mean, and it used to be cash only. Like I miss that. That's how you know it's a great place.
Okay.
And we don't really have that out here. You like Subway, which is ugh.
You know,
pay me to eat
apparently
something.
There's question about their tuna.
Yeah, there's questions about a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I did not get an update on Dog and Cow, but if you missed that, please go to Twitter right now and check out the footage from I-59 in Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, where a cow and a dog who are in cahoots ended up going on a joyride together through highway traffic.
Here's the thing. First off, I hope they're both okay.
Yeah, well, the traffic was stopped, so thankfully.
The cow, I believe, is being pursued by the dog. Now, I'm with you. I like to think they're in cahoots.
Oh, I think they're friends.
You think so?
Yeah. I think they are both escaping a poor situation. Captivity.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you think the dog is helping out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the dog is the muscle and the cow's the brains.
Okay.
Which you would never normally say about
that,
a cow.
Then that would once again show that I'm the cow in this situation. Not that you have muscle, but I indisputably have brains.
Oh, no, I'm glad that you picked up on that, because...
Okay, are you constipated again? You know, they've got chocolates for that.
I'm looking at the monitor there.
Okay.
That looks good.
Okay. It was, so the cow is running through the traffic,
Jim is
and
this
the
way.
Dog is behind him. But the dog did look like he was in pursuit of the cow. Like the dog was working for somebody trying to corral the cow.
See, this is where you can't let the conspiracy theory part of your brain shut down here and just realize that this is a love story between a cow and a dog. They're best friends.
Well, then definitely.
Trying to escape a terrible
then
situation.
Clearly they are not the two of us, right?
Well, no. I mean, we are also best. I know we bicker and fight, but we are also best friends.
Okay.
Like I would help you in a situation where you were captive. I would break those chains loose for you.
Really?
I mean, I basically saved your career for 8.5 years, so okay. It wouldn't be like the first time that something like that happened.
Okay, if you'd like to think so.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we don't know where they are now, because the last time this happened was the monkey and the wolf. And the monkey and the wolf...
Yep, in Ohio.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They were both in captivity, right?
Yeah.
What? They broke free.
Monkey had herpes or something? Syphilis or...
he had the clap, right?
He had some sort of STD, yeah.
Monkey... He went nuts, and then the wolf was with them, and then, were they captured, or were they found?
The wolf went first, and then the monkey was on the lamb, and then they ended up finding the monkey, I think, in a hotel room somewhere in Kentucky.
He was at a Motel 6 in Mansfield.
That's where they found the monkey.
That's right.
And he woke up, he was unresponsive.
Okay. Did they meet a demise, the monkey and the wolf, do you remember?
Demise?
Yeah. Did it have a not-so-happy ending for them?
Oh,
went out and got himself the clap.
Yeah. In all seriousness, that was actually a story where some crazy person released all of the animals that he had and then I think committed suicide, right?
I think that's right.
But he did it in a negative, like a malicious way, because he had like tigers.
Correct.
They had to capture some tigers that were on the loose, and then they captured like 50 animals, but there was a monkey and a wolf that were traveling together.
Yeah. And then they
eventually decided to split up and both met their untimely deaths. Yeah.
That's too bad.
They had to put down, well, the monkey had just was disease riddled.
And was.
And the wolf wasn't going to go down without a fight. He was not going to go back to the farm.
The monkey, you know, the monkey actually just decided to live it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the wolf is typically the cleanup guy, but
yeah,
he was on his own. And no. Yeah. Okay.
It's a sad way to kind of – well, I guess we have Bite or Bull Bleep next, so we're not going to end the show with this at least.
And we have a special not a special announcement, but a tip of the cap for Bite or Bull Schultz, right?
That's right. Okay. We're going to do that next as we wrap up the show. It's Corey and Schultz on ISC.
Bailey and Wood.
Wood, we pride ourselves on our five-star customer service. But at our core, we're a family. Family owned and family to our customers, staff, and our community. From charity events to recognizing hometown heroes, we prioritize giving back to our communities that have always supported our growth. So let us help you get your dream home today.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Shot at the buzzer.
Got it! She got it!
Oh my goodness, what a shot!
Ready? Hello!
Did it again.
Hello!
Made the highlight reel again.
That goes to Metzger, and all kinds of room to run. Down the middle of the field, and he will not be touched. Jackson, hello!
There we go.
Stokes throws it. Caught, ball ricochets!
Wow.
A huge hit!
Wow.
This has been an amazing display of goal scoring.
I think, Derek, my favorite of the Shop Indy shirts that we have up here, and they're all great, right? The Shop Indy, whether you're talking about, you know, look, the Shop Indy has not only nostalgic shirts about Indianapolis in places of yesteryear, Paramount Music Theater, one of them, by the way.
Deer Creek.
Deer Creek being one of them, Marsh, O'Malley's. Then they have the athletes, Reggie Miller, just the old Pacer script, Busch Stadium. But over there on the end, Derek, the 75th Indianapolis 500, as Bob Jenkins, the great Bob Jenkins, called it, the Diamond Jubilee edition of the 75th running of the Great Speed Classic. The 91 Indy 500 has a soft spot in my heart because that was my senior year of high school. That shirt's fantastic.
Yeah.
But the shop, theshopindy.com, used to be 920 Broadable Avenue, so you need to go one door to the left of that.
It's either 918 or 922, I guess, right now.
That's right. One address away from 920. Mm-hmm. And Clay Terrace as well. But they now, Derek, are able to do name, image, likeness for athletes. David Bell of Purdue.
Yeah.
They have a T-shirt for
Cole
him.
Hawker, Cole Hawker, track star.
And they're now – they're going to end up doing an IU athlete, and I'm guessing it's going to be – it's either going to be Michael Penix or Trace Jackson Davis, right?
You would think.
One of those two.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this yesterday before we get to Beiter Bolschultz. If Bob Knight was still coaching in Indiana right now, and let's say Bob Knight is at Indiana and he's 50 years old, so he's in his peak. Okay, it's 1990, 91, Bob Knight. Which of the two things that are present today in college athletics that were not during the zenith of Bob Knight would most contribute to an inevitable Bob Knight-like downfall? And I don't mean that in a bad way. But which would he have the bigger challenge for himself with? His athletes and the name, image, likeness possibility, or the transfer portal?
I think he'd have a big issue with the latter there, the transfer portal, because guys would get there and be like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. And the attitudes are different from players now. I'm not saying that that's a good or a bad thing. It's just a different thing.
It is.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be like, well, kids today. It's just different. It's not – I'm not knocking that. I think the name, image, likeness would be an adjustment for him too, but – You know, Jake, for all of his faults, I never got the feeling that Bob Knight, like, wanted to hold back his players from enrichment, maybe isn't the right word, but getting their proper due and all of that. Like, I think we kind of make him into a villain, and there were a lot of things that Bob Knight did that were villainous, but I do think that he genuinely cared about his guys.
Okay,
you know?
That's fair.
So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
For those that are new to the program, and we appreciate the fact that you finally decided to join, how does Beiter Bolschultz work?
Beiter Bolschultz works like this. I give a statement. Jake,
I notice you're now calling it Bolschultz.
Whether we buy it.
Congratulations. It's a positive step for you.
I said Bolbly.
How's it work again?
We'll get that in post. Okay. I make a statement. You and I go back and forth whether we buy it or it's Bolbly. By the way, this segment is dedicated to Winston Hugo Kelly, who is the newest addition to the Shop family, Aaron and Brian. had a son.
Okay.
A couple of days ago, a baby boy. So their crew is now up to three. So congratulations to the Kellys and Brian Kelly, the co-owner of the Shop Indy.
By the way, name, image, likeness. In 1986, perhaps they could have done a shop shirt for Winston Morgan. Anderson's own and yeah. Indiana point guard Winston
I
Morgan.
Guess so. And I think that's what they're going to do. Like you asked me, Trace Jackson Davis or Penix, the reason why I lean towards more with Jackson Davis is because he's from here. And that's kind of the shop's branding.
That's
you know
fair.
What I mean? Center yep. Grove kid, now IU kid. Whereas right. Penix is, I think, a Florida native.
Florida,
right?
Yep.
Statement one, buy it or bull bleep. Got to scroll down in my notes. Baseball has the best all-star game. Buy it or bull bleep?
Excellent question. Yeah, I buy it. Midsummer Classic, it usually comes during a time when there's not a whole lot else
yeah,
going on.
That's the big thing.
It's always in a place because it's the summer. The weather's usually pretty spectacular. You know, when during my childhood, Derek, for a lot of times, it was the first time to see guys over the course of the year that I'd seen on my baseball cards and knew about. The NBA All-Star Game, I realize, it is an incredible athletic display, but after the first 5 minutes of it, you don't need to see anything until the last 5 minutes. Yeah. And the NFL All-Star Game, forget about
yeah,
it,
the
right?
Pro Bowl, who cares?
The NHL Skills Shootout All-Star is pretty cool, but the game itself, yeah. So, yes, I will say I buy it.
Yeah, it's definitely the most relevant. It's the most nostalgic.
It's the most relevant, yep.
You know, we still get nostalgia from, I just remember how big of a deal it used to be, and it certainly was even a bigger deal when you were a kid, when baseball yeah. was arguably the number one sport probably in America. I think I missed that. You know, for when I was growing up, I think there was a window in the early 90s where suddenly the NBA became the biggest, and then really it became the
can
NFL.
Can you do me a favor real quick? Look up the 1984 All-Star lineup.
Okay. And you're going to try to name it?
Well, I mean, I could probably run through the whole thing, but you could just simply give a position, and I'll tell you who it is. The okay. 84 All-Star lineup.
1984, mm-hmm. Major League Baseball. Oh, okay. I'm going to get the starting lineup, which I have to do at Wikipedia because Wikipedia is all-knowing. ESPN sucks when it comes to this. Let's see. Well, 1984. All right, here we go.
What do ESPN and McAllister Deli?
American League. The okay. starting third baseman.
Starting third baseman in the American League. You might have thrown me for a loop here on third.
You're going to be mad at yourself. This guy.
Oh, George Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. George Brett was third. Short would have been Alan Trammell?
No, early in his career, but already a star.
Cal Ripken.
Yep.
Okay. Second, Lou Whitaker.
Yep.
First.
I got mad hits like I was.
First baseman? Team.
He was on the Angels.
Oh, Rod Carew. Yeah, of course.
Lance, come on, man. Beastie lyrics.
Lance Parrish, the catcher,
yep.
right?
Outfield, left. One of my favorites growing up. And he was with this team when I was growing up, which is probably the reason
outfield
why
outfield becomes
one of my
tricky because sometimes they kind of move guys around. I mean, was Puckett would not have been in center yet, right?
No, Puckett wasn't in the – Puckett was a rookie in 85.
Yeah, 85 because that yeah. was his card. I didn't do so
how
well.
How about this? Yankees, Tigers, Angels. But I don't know if the guy that is on the Yankees you immediately think Yankees okay. with, even though he played for
Reggie
the
Reggie Jackson for the Angels?
Reggie Jackson for the Angels.
Tigers would have been
– center field.
Okay, there are a couple
a really
of...
good player, not a – I don't know if he's a great player.
The first that comes to mind is Ron LaFleur.
Chet Lemon.
And that what I was going to say, or okay. Chet Lemon, because those two guys kind of alternated.
Left field. Childhood favorite, played on some terrible teams in the 80s for the Yankees.
Was
but
he
was the star of the team, really. Well, he was the star of the team, and then they signed Ricky Henderson. And then
Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go to the National League.
National League.
I mean, I couldn't name two right now.
Let's see. National
currently League. In the okay, National League. Ready? Gary Carter at catcher.
Yep. First base Padres. Hit Steve, a huge home run.
Steve Garvey.
In the, yeah.
Okay. Second base Ryan Sandberg.
Yep. Third
shortstop,
base easy.
Ozzie Smith.
Yep.
Third base.
One of the greatest ever.
Mike Schmidt.
Yep.
Outfield. Give me the three teams.
Your favorite player ever in left.
Tony Gwynn.
Yep. Center field, a guy that won a couple of MVPs and a lot of people think he should be a Hall
Dale
of Famer,
Murphy.
But he's not.
Dale Murphy. Yep.
And right field, a guy that just never fully lived up to his potential but was a phenomenon as a young player.
Daryl Strawberry.
Yep. Starting pitcher, you're never going to get this one because I would have never thought of this guy.
Okay, hold on. In 84?
It's the only time he's ever been an all-star. He did pitch a no-hitter, though. And he played his entire career for one team, an irrelevant team. That doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, hold on.
I only know this guy because of baseball cards.
Hold on. I know this. He had black curly hair.
And he's not with us anymore. He died 10 years ago.
Give me his initials.
CL.
Ooh, that's not,
there's just no way that you're going to get this, because this is like a random flash in a pan kind of year for him.
Hold on. I know this. He's an Expo, right?
Yep.
All right. Give me the next bite of Bull Schultz and we'll come back to it.
Okay.
It's not Charlie Liebrandt, right?
It is. Yeah.
Ring it up. Yeah. Charlie Liebrandt.
Well, this says Charlie Lee.
What?
L-E-A? Did he go Lee for short? Did he change his name later?
So it's
life?
Not Charlie Liebrandt? I just threw a pen at the camera.
Wait,
in exuberation for no reason
there's
whatsoever?
There's a Charlie Liebrandt and a Charlie Lee that both played for the Expos?
You said Wikipedia is all-knowing.
I'm on Google image search right now because I'm looking for a guy with black curly hair.
Oh, I'm thinking of Jeff Reardon. That's who I was thinking of, was Jeff Reardon.
Okay.
Until you gave me the initials.
See, is there a Charlie Liebrandt? I'm not seeing anybody Charlie Liebrandt.
It all unlocks
eventually.
Derek, we got to get to the next thing here.
Oh, God. I typed in Charlie Liebrandt Expos, and it gave me, did you mean Charlie Liebrandt Exposed? And it's a bunch of, like, 15-year-old boys.
<That's> okay.
I don't want that.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Go ahead and delete my internet history.
Okay.
You know, Derek Schultz was tweeting about Exposed. Boy, God.
Yeah, okay.
Statement two. Let's move on
from
that. The
feds are at the door.
This year's NBA champion won't win another championship in the next several years. Kind of a one-off. Like the Mavericks in 11.
Yeah, I buy that.
I think I do, too.
I buy that.
I think I do, too. I think the culmination of the circumstances needed for the
Correct.
Bucks and Suns to be in this finals. No offense. They both deserve to be here. The Suns, I think, to me, have a better chance of staying power.
If the Nets stay healthy.
Yeah, the Bucks.
They've pretty much got the next two or three years in the East, right?
Yeah, and the Bucks aren't even here if the Nets stay healthy. They win that series, and they probably should have won it anyway, so I agree. Statement three, final one. School should never start in July. Buy it or bull.
Oh, 1,000% buy that. It's ridiculous.
I can't believe they do
1,000%
that.
1,000%.
I can't believe it.
It's ridiculous.
Like, I get, like, you know, it's not the 80s anymore. We started Labor Day and after Labor Day in Connecticut, but to start, IPS starts the last week of July, right?
That's
insane to me.
I still, though, when I hear oscillating fans and a mower in the distance, I feel like it's the first week of school or the last week of school.
That is the best. I know you use a noise machine. I wish they could just make a noise that is sixth grade classroom.
Yeah.
Because I would just immediately, like, there is nothing more soothing than just, like, that buzz and the ambient noise. It was just, oh.
Did that include anybody
sleep in school a lot.
Picking on you sound in the background?
No, that would probably be more flushing because I used to eat my lunch in the bathroom stall instead of the cafeteria. So that would probably be more of that sound.
That is
that violent
horrific.
Flushing. Yeah.
You had to eat your lunch in a bathroom stall.
Yeah. Chris Damio made me do that for most of my freshman year of high school. He was one of the bullies.
Well, who's the Aaron fella?
Aaron Palacio. Yeah, that was a little bit earlier on. That was seventh grade. That was junior high. That was a different school. That was when I was at private school. I thought private school would help me avoid some of those bullies, but it turns out that – some of those guys were not very Christian.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
The stalls where I went to school were all filled with debris of broken pencils from the losers of Pencil Pop.
I don't know what that is.
Pencil Pop?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. The trusty drink? Number twos were the best.
I don't know what that is either. Okay. Oh, number two pencil, like what you'd use with a Scantron test.
Yeah, okay. I'm not talking about the
No,
stall.
I know what a number two pencil is.
They had a buoyancy about them that allowed you to always win in Pencil Pop. You never played Pencil Pop?
No. No.
What kind of childhood did you have?
Never did it. We had Pogs.
Did you ever play the paper football?
Oh, a little bit. That was kind of lame. Paper football was kind of stupid. We did the fold-up paper thing. Does she like me, yes or no? And then you'd pull out a tab, and then it'd be a girl's name.
Well, I think I know which way that landed on you more often than not.
Well, I did cheat one time, and I put Katie for every single flap, but nobody wanted to play that. That was just me playing by myself.
Okay.
Yeah. That was just me alone.
A common theme when it came to her, right?
Well, look at the flower that I blossomed into, Jake.
If you'd like to think so.
Thanks to all of our great sponsors, Bailey & Wood Financial Group.
BAWFG.com.
That's my line. Please don't steal it from me. 855-350-HOME. Chateau Kitchens, Indie Alley Cats, because the Frisbee's breaking stuff. The Shop Indy, WGU Indiana. Love Heating and Cooling. Am I missing everybody? I think I got everybody,
Love Heating
right?
and Air Conditioning.
We are taking a summer break, so no show next week. We will be back Tuesday, July 27th.
Oh, darn it. Can you hear me that other one?
Getting closer to the trade deadline. We'll have an NBA champion at that point. Training camp about to open, so we'll finally start talking some football again. And Olympics. Forgot about that. Right around the corner, too. So have a great summer vacation. We'll see you then. Thanks to everybody here, our entire ISC crew, Jordan Chu, and Jake as well. Jake Morris. I always forget his last name
it's
for
Query.
Some reason. And then Query.
Yeah.
And then Derek Schultz. Okay, bye. I don't know why I'm still talking. Bye. Yeah. The show's over.
Shut up.
Go home.